I love it when people send me a video, a music video, a South African music video, and I'm playing it, starting to listen to it. And then my daughter, she is now second year university. She comes behind me. She says, "That's cool." You know, to impress someone at university when nothing impresses them, that says a lot. So I thought, okay, let's get this guy on the mic. Henrico Fourie. Hello, Henrico. How you doing?
Hello, Janine. Good on yourself. Hello to all the listeners. Such an honor to be chatting to you today.
Fine and fabulous. Listen, yeah, let's first catch up with where you are now in life. I mean, the beautiful wife with a voice, the children, I see they're growing up. Just put us in the picture. What ages are they and where you're at?
Janine, yeah, I love doing life with my family. They're my tribe, or like some people put it. I'm married to Anya, like you also mentioned, who have also been in ministry for such a long time with an amazing, beautiful voice. It's such an honor for me just to run alongside her. And yeah, we just recently celebrated our 12-year wedding anniversary. All glory to the King. And then, yeah, we've got two beautiful girls, Hannah Mae and Tehila, who journeys with us through life. Hannah Mae turns 8 this year and Tehila turns 4. And it's really been going well. God's faithful. I think in this season for myself, just learning how to be a father, right? Under the grace and leadership of Holy Spirit, learning just to have soft hands and being patient with them. And I think just being present in life. So yeah, it's an honor for us. We do not see ministry as work or as ministry. Even we see it as a calling and, you know, part of life is what God has called us for.
We are going to get to the music. Obviously, that is how we've gotten to know you guys. But it's very interesting how you were saying learning to be a father. Maybe let's go there first. What's so hard about being a father? I mean, was it not what you expected?
I think, well, let me maybe talk out of a man's perspective. I think we tend to put so much pressure on ourselves, right? I think if there's one thing I've journeyed on so much, it's just how God created us as men. There's a little book I read a couple of years ago, Wild at Heart, from John Eldridge. I think many have read that book about just how we are built as men. And I realized actually like the core question that every young boy up to a man, even when you at your old age, the question that we ask or that keeps on echoing in our minds and in our hearts is, do we have what it takes? I think that, and for me, I think in this journey of being a father and a husband, I just realized that I cannot afford anybody else or anyone else to answer that question except my Creator. You know, it's like when Jesus came out of the water being baptized and the Lord spoke out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's almost the answer to that question. That's almost the answer to, like, my boy, you have what it takes. So for me, being a father, just really trying just to not put pressure on myself and to try and see myself first like Abba Father sees me. I think it was Corey Asbury from Bethel that once said, "I only knew what it meant to be a son the moment I became a father." And I think when I look at my daughters, I'm like, well, I think in this season, I really start to understand the depth of my identity as a son before the father. And the more I get acquainted with that and stay in that position, the better I can then reflect the father to them if I know who I am as a son.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a real privilege to have a father, the King of the Universe, yes, who happens to be really very patient, especially when we look at ourselves and we find ourselves falling short of that thing, patience as a parent. But it must be hard for you. I mean, you're the only guy in a house full of girls. That must complicate life a little bit.
Janine, yeah, I always make a joke and say people must pray for me. I am absolutely outnumbered at home. I'm just trying to own and accept the fact that I am called to be a daughter daddy. And it's a joy. My life is on the side of the hockey field and the netball field. That's where I find myself. And so that's good. That's a privilege.
Okay, but 8, 4, I mean, people are still, come on, they must be asking you, when's the little boy coming? That's any parent and any listener, that's the next logical question.
It is. A lot of people ask that. I won't be arrogant, though. We are open for it, but not that open. Look, if the Lord wants to do it, he'll do it. But I always make a joke and say I'm already praying for the two, what do you say, squincians?
Sons-in-laws.
Yeah, I'm already praying for them. So I'm going to get two boys eventually into our family, but I'm praying for them. But we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, let's get to the music, because that was another interesting journey. Obviously, we get to know Anya first. And here she is, this established artist. And then she gets married, and then it becomes Anya and Henrico. And I'm sure lots of people, as you walked onto the stage, it's like, they build your credibility on Anya's credibility originally because they knew her first. But now it seems your music style and everything, you're really coming into your own as an artist. Was that a whole journey for you?
Janine, yes, it was. I think interesting journey. I think even during this journey of sonship, just walking that journey of comparison, even us walking close to other mentors like Mervis, like you know him very well, I know the listeners as well. I think I had to go through this journey of really not comparing and really finding my own identity. I always joke in the beginning when myself and Anya just started dating, I said I saw that she was, music was getting out there and somebody at that stage sponsored her first album. So I was like, yeah, this is my claim to fame. So I'm going to jump on the bandwagon, I'm just joking. But it was a journey, I think, for both of us. I think for Anya as well, just to find her place. I think in the structure of family, the structure of marriage. But I must also say it's just an honor to run next to her. For us, I think it's that reality of we are not orphans. We are not sons. So I don't need to fight for a place. She doesn't need to fight for a place. And it's actually Mervis that taught us that we need to honor Christ within one another and really just look at each other through his eyes. So it's been a journey. It's an exciting journey for me. I think now is the time. You know, I think sometimes fleshly we want to, if our heart's intentions are not right and our identity is not rooted in him, I think in life we try to kick open doors or we try to force ourselves into that position on stage or into the spotlight prematurely. Where I'm not saying it's been perfect, but I've really just tried to rest in his timing and his season for, if I can put it, my journey, my expression, my sound to be released in the season.
Yeah, because the perception was it's a package deal, Anya and Enrico. It's like one sentence.
Yeah.
It's a name.
Yeah.
It's an identity. but your music, to me, sounds more edgy. And even your videos, it's totally different from anything you've done as Anya and Enrico. So did you intentionally try to be different, or is this something in you that was always there and now at last you get to release it onto the world?
Yeah, I think I realized, during the years for us releasing albums together and writing songs together, I think it's one thing you learn, but then it becomes more natural that it's like it's a sacrifice. Like when we write songs together, sometimes she will get a chorus and I would write a verse around it, but we would kind of in a positive way wrestle around the wording, wrestle around the concept, and somewhere one has to give, or somewhere in a sense we both have to give compromise to each other's flavors. And I think now we start to realize, because I think, she obviously released some singles and an album on her own before we got together. And now the season is not flipping. I think obviously we'll still release songs together. But it is, I think now she also says it, that we can see we have totally different flavors, and the sound when it comes to writing. So Anya is very much repetitive. It's almost in like that soaking worship type of environment. It's repeating a simple yet powerful line and waiting for it to set in your spirit. Where I think it depends, but I love telling a bit of a story and then also writing directional worship songs. But it's exciting just to express, I think, my own flavor. And it's like you say with the music videos, I just realized it is another part of creativity that you wanna put some effort in. You wanna be creative. You want to I think the producing and the ideas putting on the table, it's what makes us come alive, because we come from the creator himself, and he really calls us to create and to stretch ourselves, you know, to pour in everything that we have. So yeah, I think it's beautiful. It would have, I think, honestly, it would have been sad if our flavors were exactly the same. And I think it's for the body of Christ, it's the same. I heard this quote once that said, one of the most purest forms of worship is to fully express who God made you to be. Why does it help there's two Anyas? Or why does it help there's two Enrico? So I think that's why it's just beautiful allowing each other in the body of Christ to release their own sound and fragrance.
And then how does it practically work when you go out to minister? Because obviously people, they expect one thing. Or can you do your songs in between? Or and obviously you can arrange them differently depending where you are, because you're musicians, you can do what you want to. But what's the plan?
Janine, it is an interesting... Yeah, it's a good question. I remember Mervis spoke to us about this many years ago, and he encouraged us and he said, look, if you're going to market your music, people are going to invite you for your music. But if you market your heart, people will invite you for your heart. And I think more than the music, obviously, our hearts is what we want to get over and market to people. So it's interesting. I think we love the spontaneous prophetic flow type of worship so much. So we do not actually often do our songs where we minister. Sometimes there will be a request at the end where people say, "Ach, do Groot Wierook en Mirre," or do this song, and then we'll quickly throw it in. So I think it depends. We try to be obedient once again as well, not put ourselves into a box and say, this is the only way we minister. Like, for example, we do our songs and that is it, or we just flow spontaneous and prophetic. So we do try and be obedient. So sometimes, yes, we will. There was, I think it was last year in Coltonville, they had this beautiful Warrior Bride morning where there were different speakers, and we also just had a slot. So myself and Anya was like, how are we going to approach this morning? And then actually the Holy Spirit led us to go back to the archives, well, if you can call it that way, and pick like 8 of our songs, and then make it more like a ministry morning where we play the song and then share why the song was written. And through that, people actually get word in, they get revelation in. Some of our testimonies really, through the songs, encourages them and sets their hearts free. So I think it all depends.
I'm remembering Julius Magan, because as a record company, I was at Maranatha Record Company. He was one of the artists, and he had these CDs that he released. But when he performed, he literally not once ever sang one of his songs, and that used to frustrate the record company, because the whole point was releasing a CD so that people want the songs, and then you go minister the songs, which markets the CD. But his CDs did so well, even though he literally never sang one of the songs.
Yes, you could
never come. So what you're saying is people were getting him for the heart. It was for that for that flow of worship was just so beautiful in those times as well. Oh, God can do exactly what he wants. Listen, so this video of Praise You in the Valley, of this new song, I did ask Jason afterwards, the drummer, because now we're watching this video and we're fascinated when he plays the drums. It's this cloud of whiteness every time he hits the drums. And so my daughters were concerned that it was flour or something that was on there. So whose idea was it, and who cleaned the drums afterwards?
I actually had the idea. I phoned Jason before we did the music video, and I was like, Jason, can I ask you something? Can we have your permission to actually put baby powder onto the drums? And then it'll give that effect like when you hit it. I think because people are so visually inclined and audibly inclined, I don't know if that's the right word.
Yes.
It all just brings that package, you know, to the energy of the song. So maybe that's what you guys, and great if you did experience like in that moment that woof, that wowness. Somebody asked me, where does the smoke come from? Did you like put a smoke machine under the drums, or what's going on? So I said, no, it was baby powder. It was a mission, because we actually asked a principal in Middelburg at Dennisig Primary School if we could use his hall, the school, So we had to clean up. I mean, that baby powder is so fine. It was all over the whole floor and everything. But Jason was fine with it at least. So that's great. And I'm glad we could capture that effect on the music video as well.
Just to say that he did say that his drums smelled fabulous for the next few weeks. The smell of baby powder went with him everywhere he went after playing for your music video.
Yeah.
But the whole music video is very dramatic. I mean, the sounds that you did, the opening of the door, walking in and then plugging in your guitar and everything like that. Tell me, walk me through the whole process of and the zzz effect that it does, you know. All of that must have been great to put together.
Yeah, I think that's what I love. So I pitched the idea with everyone, and I just got this picture. I think that's where we just need to be like very childlike when God gives us something. And I think even in myself, just push the boundaries a bit, because I think we've all grown up in a certain way. We've been influenced through people's opinions and whatever. And I just thought, I think the whole picture with a song, it is like a praise song, but it's more like you can almost label it as a warfare song as well. So I wanted it to be dramatic. I wanted it to be like heavy, this declaration kind of thing. And yeah, I think with walking through the door, it's and the jack plugged into the guitar, it's just creating this anticipation. And obviously just playing around, I think with music as well, and maybe with video as well, it's, the sky's the limit. You know, you can play around and just be so creative.
We were talking about it afterwards. For instance, that whole glitchy thing that you did, you know, when you walk in, it looks like the video is glitching like that. And we were wondering afterwards, if we were now at school and we were discussing a poem, they would be saying that the idea behind this is that life has got glitches and we're praising him in the valley, and that the valley is represented by the glitches and all that kind of thing. But this is just my perspective looking afterwards into a video that you created. And that's the whole interesting dynamic, is I don't know if I understand what you did there. You do something in a creative way, saying what you want to say, but you're not there to explain your video to people. And it's out there. That's what art is.
Yes, exactly. And it's like you say, it's, I think the whole valley season, let's be honest. And I think that's where I realized the battle seasons and the tough seasons. I realized in the body of Christ, many people are really battling abnormal stuff in this season. And it's dirty. It's not clean. It's where it's in these valley seasons where the mask of pretense is really ripped off our hearts, if I can put it that way, where God invites us to be raw and real. And that's maybe what you see in the video. It's messy. It's glitchy. It's baby powdery. No, I'm just joking. but it's messy. And I think through that, I think that was my encouragement, is to give people words to put. I think that's the privilege that we have and the responsibility as psalmists, to help people to put to words what they are experiencing inside of their hearts, whether it's frustration, anxiety, fear, whatever it might be, to help them express, to help them sing in the midst of where they are, to release a sound, to release a song, and even when it's dirty, you know. So, yeah.
Praise You in the Valley is the name of the song. I'm sure you can get hold of it anywhere, any place.
Yeah, they can. Like you also mentioned on Enrico and Anya Worship, our YouTube channel, they are more than welcome to go and watch the jack plug in and the door opening and the baby powder.
And
the baby powder, yes. And then obviously on all digital platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, there's so many. It's available everywhere.
Okay, and because you're singing under your own name, does it mean you've got your own Facebook pages now, or is it still under the normal?
So it is. No, so Enrico and Anya Worship is still our main Facebook page, but then I just use my personal one, why not? And my Instagram one, Enrico Furie, as well, just to release the content on there as well.
Okay, so when I'm going to play the song now, but I want us to hear what you say. If you had to choose one thing that you want me to get when I listen to the song of yours, what would it be?
I think, let me read this. I think I would read the bridge to you guys. So in the bridge, I just wrote, the father of lies whispers, it's over, but I know the end of the book. So it's like, I realize where Jesus walks, there's no dead end roads. There's always an option. There's always, he's the God of breakthrough. Then I wrote, my faith is in the one the trustworthy father, not the father of lies, the trustworthy father who will never let me go, even in the valley. So then I said, so I'm praying in faith. So I can't see it yet, but I'm praying in faith. I'm already rejoicing with praise, stepping out onto the water. I'm taking your hand. Together we stand in the battle you have conquered. So we don't fight for victory. We are already victorious because of him in Christ. So yeah, I hope in that bridge there's a nice pause in the song where the bridge builds up and I repeat this. And at the end of the song, with more energy and conviction, I repeat that whole bridge again. So I hope that as people listen to it, it'll really just encourage them and inspire them just to stand up in their season and release a sound of praise in the midst of the valley.